Welcome to the Death Doula Duo. I'm Sarah Kovash.
I'm Jennifer O'Neill.
And this is where we explore the profound mysteries of life and all things death.
Hello.
Hi.
We are here today with Violet and Rochelle. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about their experiences being close with somebody who was dying and how they were part of that process. And Violet and Rochelle came to our very first Death Cafe. And I was just struck by how their experiences were really beautiful and just how that encapsulated just my hope for people experiencing death and just the fact that it can be a beautiful experience.
That's a good reminder.
Yeah. So I was just excited to have them on the show to talk about it and just get to share a little bit because death is good to talk about.
Who wants to go first?
Well, I can go first. I'm Rochelle. Thank you guys, by the way, for having me here. I remember the first time I came to your Death Cafe, and it was such a profound experience for me. And it just warms my heart that you remembered my story and thought to invite me back to share more about that and to share with others. So thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. And I love Death Cafes because really anything can be talked about, whatever is on people's hearts. And it just so happened that that day we got to talk about your experiences. And that was awesome. What do you do for a living?
So I actually do several things. I am a massage therapist. So that's my primary love. I also love water, so I have a business selling water machines, and then I also lead guided meditations.
Awesome. Full spectrum. That's really cool.
It all ties together.
Into like a purpose, is that what you mean?
Well, through the water, I always think about our bodies as being water. On a 99% molecular level, we are water. And so I thought a lot about spirituality through the lens of water and also working with people's bodies and their water bodies. And and then, you know, we can channel through water, and our solar plexus is a water channel. So we're able to literally speak health into our body. So yeah, I've been able to tie all of my offerings together through the lens of water.
Awesome. Nice. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Violet, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Violet Benoit. And also would like to thank you for inviting me today. I was at the first Death Cafe and really brought up a lot of stuff for me that I've never got to really share with people because it was such a personal experience. And I felt so safe in that environment to discuss it. And then to get to hear about Rochelle's experience as well and know that I'm not alone. There was a medium there who also shared that she deals with this all the time. And so it was really exciting. And I'm really glad you guys are facilitating these types of events here locally. I live in Norman. I work for a nonprofit, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and I recruit for mentors for kids. And so we always have a need for that to make a difference in the life of kids who need an extra pillar of support in the community. I have two sons of my own. I absolutely love being a part of, you know, these kind of things. I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks. So, Rochelle, can you tell us a little bit about your spiritual experience and just, I mean, were there specific moments or sensations that stood out to you during that experience or just an overview?
Well, if I can give a little bit of context of why we were even there in the first place. So my grandmother, what I'm actually speaking on today is my grandfather's passing. His passing was who I was actually present there for. My grandmother had passed away 2 years prior. And she too was on hospice, just like my grandfather. So I was very prepared for many of the things that happen during hospice and a person's final moments. I was mentally prepared for the physical changes and all that was, you know, going to come with that. With my grandmother, I got to see her on her last day. My kids and I went and said our final goodbyes, and then she passed shortly after we left. And that always made me sad and always wished that I had been there with her during her final moments. So when my grandfather, 2 years later, was going through his hospice journey, I felt like it was important to be there. And I did not want to miss his passing. So towards the end, my grandfather lived. He was a very, very vibrant man. He was very, very active. And all up until really after my grandmother passed, it was kind of like her passing. He kind of gave up on life. And he really just wanted to be with her. And so it wasn't long after her passing, he was diagnosed with brain cancer. And he did initially seek out treatment. And then, I don't know, after 6 months into it, he decided that he was just ready to be with grandma. And so in honoring him and the way that he wanted to go, we were all very supportive. And so once we got him signed up for hospice, things kind of took a turn very quickly. And we saw my grandfather, who's this very vibrant man. He was in the military and he carried mail in Mustang, Oklahoma for years. And now this man could barely function. So there was a day that my cousin and I, she and I were like, my cousin was the person who was primarily taking care of him. And she was exhausted. We were all exhausted and he was too. And he just kept saying things like, "I'm ready to see grandma." And he was starting to see relatives come in and talk to him. And he was sharing with us these conversations that he was having. And my grandfather is Baptist. So he also was talking a lot about Jesus and that Jesus was sitting with him. So he had a lot of visions towards the end. But this day finally came where my cousin and I went. We sat outside and we prayed to my grandmother and all of our ancestors, you know, "Please come get grandpa," because he was tired. And it was literally an hour after that 911, we had to call 911, and they came out for the final time. Him being on hospice, they don't actually take them, you know, to the hospital. And so he was, from that point forward, never did get out of bed again. And we were told by the hospice nurse that he had a couple of days left, and he actually ended up making it 6 days, which was just incredible. We think it's because we were hanging out. There were family members who weren't normally together, and we were all there with him in the house. So the things that happened from the prayer that we sat outside and you know, that seemed to help ease him into his final, you know, moments of being in bed, So towards the end was when a lot really shifted, and where it seemed, it's very challenging to explain, but you could almost feel like the room was heavy with our ancestors. Yes, it was like a party was happening, and you could feel everybody coming for him to be there with him as he was transitioning.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I mean, not to interrupt you, but I just feel like what you're sharing is really relatable. And and even about going back to your grandmother's passing, I thought about my grandmother's passing a lot because I stayed at the hospital with my mom religiously every single day. And then as soon as I went home with my dad one night to like shower and sleep and whatever, that's when she passed. And so it was like, she, looking back on it, I realized, and hearing other people's stories, realizing that she probably chose that moment because she knew it was going to be too much for me. And I didn't think it would be at the time, but looking back on it, they gave me the opportunity to go see her body. And I mean, I walked in and I had to walk right back out because I just couldn't deal with it. And so I'm sure she knew on some level. So
I mean, I think that it varies. So yours, she waited till you left, and other mm-hmm. people wait until certain people show up. Definitely relatable.
When my grandmother passed, when we had gone to see her, with her situation, my children and I were the last people. She did wait for us mm-hmm. because it was literally moments after we left. There was a huge rainbow in the sky. And my daughter says, "Mom, look, I bet that's Grandma's bridge to heaven." Mm-hmm. And literally within moments, we get a phone call saying that Grandma had indeed passed. And you know, so the rainbows have been very, very symbolic. So we know that she very much did wait for us. And, you know, and it still, though, left me with this feeling like if I have an opportunity to be there with someone, I definitely want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's beautiful going into your grandfather's. And mm-hmm.
so that kind of leads into the question of how did this experience impact the way that you deal with death? I mean, it impacted mm-hmm. you by making you want to be present.
Yes. And very much with that too, with being present. You know, the other thing that I did want to mention too, as far as like the sensations, the moments of his actual passing, it was in the morning. My aunts had come in and said, "Oh, we think Grandpa's gone." So my cousin and I, it was four of us, two of my aunts, my cousin and I, and two on each side. And we ran mm-hmm. in there. And he actually waited for us too. They thought he had passed, but we saw his chest rise and fall three more times. And so we were all just telling him how much we loved him. We were cheering for him and just telling him it's okay to go and, you know, congratulations. And he hadn't smiled or made any facial expressions. And right before he took that last breath, he had the biggest mm-hmm. smile on his face. And it gives me goosebumps right now to think about that. And so that moment was the most profound moment for me in knowing and alleviating really my fears of what comes next. You know, he really was truly at peace. And so I would for sure say that it has allowed me to see death in a different way and in a way of excitement.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And he also was 88. So I do have that as part of the context. It's a little bit different than, you know, if he were my child or something like that. Sure. You know, so he did have a very full life, and I am super grateful that I was there for that experience.
Well, and how you described the room even prior to that, with the heaviness and everything, and how you
and you could feel it lift as the smile and his last breath. You could feel the room just kind of lift, and it was almost like every
going up.
Yes, it was like everyone was with him, and they were like, "We've got you. You know, we have you now." Yeah. And then some of the things that happened directly after were really incredible as well. So
like angelic type.
Yeah. Well, immediately after, my cousin smokes cigarettes. So she wanted to go outside and I went and sat with her and we had this old boom box and I lit a candle. So we were playing some of his favorite songs. And it was the first time I had ever noticed that a candle flame, like the fire actually will dance to the music. It changes. I think it's the frequency.
The vibration,
the frequency. Mm-hmm. And so I was noticing this candle, but then this huge gust of wind came and I just knew. I knew that was Grandpa's like final goodbye. You know, it's this huge gust of wind. And whew, yes, that was super profound afterwards.
Yeah, and what stands out to me is that you all allowed space for yourselves to experience that rather than like having to rush to go do something or something else. You just allowed it to happen and allowed yourself to experience it.
I like the part that you cheered him on. Mm-hmm. I think that is a beautiful way to handle someone's death that is pretty unusual. Mm-hmm. But I would like to welcome more of that sort of sort of thing. I think that fight against death is
overrated.
It is overrated for sure.
Well, once you've experienced something like that where you can actually feel the celebration in the room, how can you not cheer them on?
Right.
You know, and you see other people and they're so down and sad and you can just tell that they're not connected to what's actually happening. They're thinking about their own loss and what they've got, the things they have to get in order and more worldly things.
Which is okay. I mean,
I think grief is,
part of it. So
grief is a thing.
But I do see what you're saying. It's a whole different
field if you're able to do it that way.
So tell us about your experience, Violet.
Well, my experience was quite similar in that celebration aspect. This was my dear family friend who I considered an uncle. I grew up with him all my life since I was a little girl. And he had gotten liver cancer. And at this point now, he was pretty far along and was they had him hooked up on pain medication in his house. His brother was watching over him and he was in a bed, just basically waiting out his time. And I had this, I had gotten a call that said, if you want to go see James, this would be a good time. And so I went out by there in the day and went in, and I remember as soon as I walked in the room, it was a shocking experience because physically he looked very ill. His skin was all turned yellow and he was not present at all. And so it just hit me like this really intense pressure, and I hit my knees in the room and I just closed my eyes and I started going into prayer. And I just started doing a series of real intense prayers, and I felt his spirit in the room. And it was large, larger than life. And I remember his brother was sitting at this desk doing his taxes for him. And he was just grumbling and upset and very down and depressed. And the house had this very darkness in it. There was this depression in the house. But his spirit, which no longer was in his body, was like in the room, was so large. And it was just pure light. And I remember just as I prayed, connecting to that and started feeling the energy of his spirit and his readiness to pass on. And I remember thinking, that I was there for a reason. And the reason I had been called to be there was to help him to call in the ancestors. And I've never done that before. It wasn't something I'd read about. It was just like, natural. This is what you're here for. And I was like,
instinctual,
whatever I need to do, I'm available. And so, because I had been doing these prayers, and then I started calling, all these names came to mind of friends and family who had passed on before. That I hadn't even thought of. You know, it was almost as if I was being assisted.
And your guide was guiding you to help him, yeah.
And it was just very, like, I didn't have my eyes open. There was no, like, this was all just a very spiritual experience. And I'm on my knees, I'm on the ground, and I'm just doing these prayers and calling in these names and asking for their help to help him cross over. What we were thinking, I was like, Rainbow Bridge, you know, was also coming to mind. And all of a sudden, here comes these energies. I didn't see forms, but I felt them. They were very strong, powerful forms. And I felt the celebration in the room. It was so joyful. And I remember like tears coming down through my eyes and just feeling this emotion overcome me of just gratitude and celebration and joy. And I remember thinking like, wow, you know, I was just so encapsulated in this moment. There really was no separation. I remember this reunion. It was like a reunion. And then at some point I felt, it went on for quite a while. It was kind of like a meditation, a celebration. And I was part of this, but I was also kind of just not really in it, but over here. And then I just remember feeling like my work was done and that was all I was here to do. And that And I just remember feeling overjoyed and this sense of relief. And I stood up and I looked over to his brother, and his brother didn't have any sense of any of that happening. You know, he was like, this is just really, you know, unfortunate. This is crappy. You know, I've got to deal with all his paperwork.
And you were able to actually witness what was happening.
And I was had this experience I didn't expect at all that I'd, you know, I mean, I've had some metaphysical experiences in my past, but nothing like this is related to death. And so it gave me a whole new perception. I wasn't expecting that. I was just going to be a normal person coming in to say my goodbyes, you know.
Did you see anything of how, like with his body, did anything change or was everything kind of the same?
I had a really hard time being there physically. My whole perception had been shifted so much that I really wasn't connected to him physically, like to the physical aspect of the situation any longer, and because it didn't even make sense to me, like right. What he looked like there on
his spirit wasn't
even
that.
Yeah, his spirit wasn't even in that body. That body was just like, they were just almost keeping it going with all the medical, you know, things they had hooked up to it and stuff. But he was ready to go. And I think I can't remember the exact amount of time, but I think there was a few days before his body actually, you know, completely, entirely shut down.
I hear that often, that the preparation begins before we are aware. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, spiritually at least, that they're preparing way before the body actually gets to that point.
Mm-hmm. So did you carry that message or that experience to anybody, or how did that affect you at the time?
You know, like I said in the beginning, I really felt like that was very personal and, you know, it wasn't something I would just go around and talk about. I kind of kept it between my spirit guides and I. And then on certain circumstances when it seemed fit, you know, I would share it.
I remember the first time you shared it with me, and it was very impactful. It's funny how a lot of different things can happen to lead you into experiences. But that was one of mine, that just hearing your experience opened the door for me that, you know, death is more than what we can see. So
it changed my whole life about death, like my whole perception. It was like, now I realize that this is a reunion and it's a celebration. And I don't want to be at the same time callous about how different people experience death in different ways. But it changed me forever, and I'll never look at death the same. It gave me a certain level of trust also, in great spirit, you know, for timing, and for, support and in angelic or ancestral, or spiritual way. That because he was not a very, like, a super religious person or anything, you know, so it wasn't that based on his faith of what he had, you know, this was just because this is just how it is.
Well, I mean, he had things to learn in this life, just like everybody else. And a lot of times that doesn't mean being connected to spirituality.
He was very spiritual, I would say, and he even would talk to his guides and things. So, but he wasn't religious, you know, in that aspect. But I don't know if that makes a difference or not. It's hard to say. I just know that it gave me a level of trust that I have when people tell me that someone's passed or someone's passing. And I've had several other experiences as well with people close to me, where I wasn't there for their death, but they contacted me shortly after, like within the few days of their death, and in an energetic way, and ways I could not deny, because I wanted to be like, that's probably not happening.
Sure.
And it was like, oh gosh, this is happening. Mm-hmm. Like smack in the face. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. What do I need to do?
Kind of reminds me of when my grandfather was passing. He was suffering pretty badly, and I had not really gone through a death in person. And I had some anti-anxiety meds at that time. And when I started to get upset that he had passed, my sister was like, take your medicine. And I instantly was like, no. I need to be present. I need to be present and a part of what's happening. And I'm glad that I didn't, because I feel like I got to experience his death in a way that I wouldn't have otherwise if I had tried to numb it in that way.
I agree with that. Yeah. Because it's almost like there is a level of anxiety that's involved. And it can be overwhelming. But I do believe that if that wasn't, like, you have to surrender to, you know, the experience and be present for it. I think that it makes a big impact. And also just having that level of, like, kind of the veil being thin and being open to that. Having an experience with that. And then I think at that time I was even had kind of one foot on the other side myself, and it made me more, viable for an experience like that.
Do you mind explaining what you mean by that?
I was just, I was going through a lot at the time myself, I don't feel like I was 100% like plugged into everyday matrix reality. And so whenever I had this experience, it just hit me. It was like, I had no defense against it.
You were open.
I was open. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really go into it any more than that, but I think that may explain, you know, that you could just kind of understand it.
I think that makes a big difference about being open. And
I can relate with that as well. At the time of my grandfather's passing, I was going through some serious hardships with my own children and just other things as well. And so I too was feeling very open at that time and wasn't really protecting my field, so to say. My energy wasn't going there. It was going towards getting through the day. And there is this when a person is passing, those final days, it's this very weird in-between space that you can feel. It's very tangible.
I just got chills. Yeah. I think it's similar to birth. I mean,
yeah, it's that rainbow bridge. It's almost like we're in the rainbow with them in those times. And all of these spirits and our ancestors are so accessible at that time. And it is something that is so indescribable. And if you have the ability and the awareness to drop into that space and go beyond your personal pain and actually sit in the honest and the awareness of, wow, this person is actually not leaving. They're simply transitioning into something different that will still be accessible to me.
What it sounds to me like you guys are talking about is Bardos.
I don't know what that
So Bardos is in Tibetan Buddhism. Bardo is the state of the soul between death and rebirth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you taken like that experience into other areas of your life or other times since that experience?
Absolutely. And I'm not sure if it's just the state of affairs of what's happening in the world now, you know, just my own personal life experience or just gifts bestowed upon me since my grandfather's passing. But because I've been able to now sit in that space, I'm able to easily recognize it in other areas of my life. And like Violet was sharing, there are moments, affirmations that are just impossible to ignore that, oh my gosh. For instance, with my grandmother, it's owls and rainbows. And with my grandfather, I know it's geese now. Anytime I see geese, they always show up at the right time. Now I'm even able to have clear conversations with my grandfather and my grandmother and feel, you can almost feel that space in other areas and other times of your life. So I definitely can hear them a lot clearer now in prayer, meditation, or in my dreams.
Yeah, something that Tara said on the last episode was about learning a new language when you
Yes, she sure did. That is a good way to put that for sure.
Yes, I for sure feel, I feel more with my grandfather now than I did when he was alive. So my granddaughter actually shared something beautiful with me the other day, and I was crying thinking about, actually yesterday marks the 2-year anniversary of losing a cousin. And we were crying and thinking about this, and she was like, Chi-Chi, those tears on your face, that is his love.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Yes, and it reminded me of a quote, and I don't remember the specific quote, but it was something about how grief is like a friend. You know, it's like that friend that doesn't leave you. So even in our sadness, like we think it's that we're missing that person, but what I feel so much is that sadness is actually, they're actually there in that moment with us, sitting with us.
Mm, that's a great way to think of that.
It reminds me of, it just came to me about when my grandfather, he had passed on quite a few years prior, and I was having a really dark night of the soul, and I was basically kind of that jumping off place where I didn't want to be here anymore. It was my birthday. I remember I was just consumed with this pain, and I opened my eyes briefly, you know, billowing tears and things like that. And I saw my grandfather there on the sitting right on the couch close to my bed. And it was just like, he was really there. And I remember him saying, just, he just enveloped me with this love. And he just said, there's nothing that could make you unworthy of all the love in this world. Like you, that this, there's an unconditional love that is just pouring out to you, and you deserve life and you deserve love. And it was just this energetic feeling that washed over me. And it was like, I don't know, I felt okay. And I think my point of telling you about that is that I've had quite a few experiences. Those aren't the only two that were kind of like smaller right after a close friend passed, and experiences with after death.
So I have a little icebreaker question for each of you. If you could take something with you into the afterlife that is not a person, what would it be?
Well, the very first thing that came to mind immediately without even putting any thought into it is a blanket.
Love that. We have that in common.
It's a blanket.
That's so awesome. Oh my gosh. Pillow. Covering. Cozy. I love it.
Yeah, a blanket. And the reason for that is I always have a blanket with me everywhere I go. I'm surprised I almost brought a blanket in with me in here.
I could have.
Yeah. I thought about it. When my early childhood, my parents remarried and all of my stuff was gone. And the one thing that I had got to keep was a blanket. And it was a blanket that my grandmother had sewn for me, the same grandmother I've been talking about. And I got to reconnect with them, obviously, again, years later. But I kept that blanket with me. And to this day, I always still have a blanket. So
that's awesome. I like that. I'm a blanket person.
Mm-hmm. To me, they hold energy, you know, and she sews blankets and stuff. And so it just, to me, and I'll hold a blanket that I have a blanket that my son slept in when he was a baby. And I still have that around my house. And yeah.
That's great. How about you, Violet?
First thing that came to mind was one of my rocks, my crystals. I carry them. They're like a security blanket for me. and I feel like I could travel lightly with one and it would still be like my, you know, friend. And
can you tell us what kind of?
You know, it just differs. But, you know, For some reason in my mind, it was just like one of the long, tall ones with the point at the top, and you could just hold it in your hand or could put it like wherever you need it to be. Like if you have a pocket, I don't know if in death you have pockets.
We have everything.
Skin pockets, but it would maybe. Fit right here, you know, we're going through the wormhole or wherever we gotta go.
I'm gonna have a pocket like the little otters do.
Maybe like a little pouch.
Yeah. You've seen the otters play with the rocks and they
put it under your arm. Yeah, whatever. You know, it's just like a crystal that would, you know, I would feel connected to that would have extra energy that we could collaborate with.
I like that. What about you, Jennifer?
I actually thought of a crystal wand. That was like what popped into my head. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of cool. You can use that for a lot of different things or just to dance with. So,
So it says not a person. My little dog, my Aww. Little Chihuahua dog. I have three, but I have an affinity for little dogs. They're always rescues,
like,
though.
It's so. Like a heart yes. next to you. Yes. I mean, that's how I think about them. Yeah. You just get to hold their heart.
Kaya.
I just want to thank you guys for being here and sharing your story with us. And it was really beautiful.
Yes, we really do appreciate you taking your time out of the day and coming, sharing your stories with us. They're beautiful.
Thank you so much for allowing us space to share those stories because they are, you know, very unique to us and special. And just talking about it really brought back a lot of emotion and energy. You know, I could feel just this power that came from that experience that I'll get to keep with me forever. And I hope to share that, you know, with you guys. Because it was very real.
I love how our experiences with death really make life more vivid and mm-hmm. and deep.
Yeah.
Yes. If there's anything I could say about my experience with that is it brought me so much more meaning to life, to my own life, to have had the honor and the privilege to be there with my grandfather in his final moments and to have experienced that with him. And with my other family members, too. Like, we're forever bonded through that experience together. And I will forever be changed as to how I see death and will help ease the transition for my own mm-hmm. death. And, and it's opened up conversations with my children and preparations and what I would like. And it's very much normalized death for us in our home as something to prepare and not be so scared of the unknown.
That's beautiful. That's our mission.
That is our mission. Yep. Yeah. Let's get everybody talking about it.
Yeah. So I thank you so much for doing the work that you guys do and allowing these conversations to happen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for being a part of it. Stay tuned for our next episode where we continue to delve deeper into the mysteries of death.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us as we journey through life's most enigmatic reality. I'm Jennifer O'Neill.
And I'm Sarah Kovash.
And we are
the Death Doula Duo.
The Death Doula Duo is brought to you by the Possibilities Podcast Platform.
If you have comments, suggestions, or would like to be on the show, please email us at thedeathdouladuo@gmail.com. Until next time, may all your discussions about death be lively.